the man. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a man. His name is Jesus. The question was asked, do you know, do you know, do you know the man? How many of you know the man? How many of you not ashamed of the man? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The man that gave sight to the blind. Come on now, give God some praise in the house. Glory, 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 glory. Yes. Woo! Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. Amen. Once we are all in the same place, say amen. Hold your place and let us pray. Gracious, kind, and merciful God, our Father, we come right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord God, thanking you, Lord God, praising your name, Lord God, worshiping your name, Lord God. Come, Lord God, just exalting your name, Lord God, just lifting your name, Lord God, just magnifying your name, Lord God, for you're worthy to be praised, Lord God. We come, Lord God, just thankful, Lord God, for your faithfulness in our lives, Lord God. Come right now, Lord. I'm asking if you would search this vessel, Lord. And if you find anything that is not of the righteousness of you, I pray right now that you would cast it in the sea of forgetfulness, Lord God. As far as the east is from the west, that those sins would never come up against me in the judgment. Search the house, Lord God. If you find anything among your people that is not of the righteousness of you, remove it right now. Cast it in the sea of forgetfulness, Lord God, as far as the east is from the west. That those sins won't come up against them in the judgment. God, I thank you, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice. I shall rejoice. I shall rejoice. I shall rejoice and be made glad in it. God, I ask if you would hide me behind the cross, Lord, for it's preaching time. And God, I'm nothing but a vessel. I ask, Lord God, if you would show up in your presence of the Holy Spirit. I ask if you would energize this people, Lord God. I ask for fresh anointing to fall on their minds, Lord God, that they can understand what you're trying to tell them. I ask for fresh anointing to fall on their ears, Lord, that they can hear you and not hear me, Lord God. I'm asking, Lord God, that something will be said or done that will help them on their spiritual journey, Lord God. For sometimes this walk gets mighty hard. And sometimes this walk gets mighty lonely. But God, I thank you that you said in your word you would never leave us, nor would you ever forsake us. So right now, Lord God, quiet us so we can hear from you. And I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I do it in the mighty name of my God and my Lord and my Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Joshua chapter 2. It's a lengthy read. We're going to start with verse 1. We're going to read to verse 21. You can write this down for those that write, take notes. We're also going to go over to chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, and verses 20 to 23. Might not read all of those, but that is where you need to read when you go home so you can get the rest of the story. Because time does not permit me to give you the whole story. But I'm going to give you enough to keep you excited. So when you get home, you're going to want to know the rest of the story. So let's begin our reading with verse 1 of Joshua chapter 2. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent out two spies from Acacia and said to them, go and look at the land, particularly at the city of Jericho. So the men went to Jericho and stayed at the house of a prostitute named Rahab. Someone told the king of Jericho, ain't that just like man? Some men from Israel have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house. They have come to spy out our whole land. But the woman had hidden the two men. She said, they did come here, but I didn't know where they came from. In the evening, when it was time to close the city's gate, they left. I don't know where they went, but if you go quickly, maybe you can catch them. The woman had taken the men up to the roof and hidden them there under stalks of flax that she had spread out. So the king's men went out looking for the spies on the road that leads to the crossings of the Jericho River. The city gate was closed just after the king's men left. Before the spies went to sleep for the night, Rahab went up to the roof. And she said to them, "I know the Lord has given this land to your people. You frightened us very much. Everyone living in this land is terribly afraid of you, because we have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. We heard how you destroyed Sihon and Og, two Amorite kings who lived east of the Jordan. When we heard this, we were very frightened. Now our men are afraid to fight you, because the Lord your God rules the heavens above and the earth below. So now promise me before the Lord that you will show kindness to my family just as I showed kindness to you. Give me some proof that you will do this. Allow my father, mother, brother, sisters, and all of my family to live. Save us from death." The men agreed and said, "It will be our lives for your lives if you don't tell anyone what we are doing. When the Lord gives us the land, we will be kind and true to you." I'm going to skip verse 15. I'm going to come down to verse 17. The men said, "You must do as we say. If not, we cannot be responsible for keeping this oath you have made us swear. When we return to this land, you must tie this red rope in the window through which you let us down. Bring your father, mother, brothers, and all your family into your house. If anyone leaves your house and is killed, it's your own fault. We cannot be responsible for him. If anyone in your house is hurt, we will be responsible. But if you tell anyone about this, we will be free from the oath you have made us swear." I'm going to leave the rest for your reading. Turn to chapter 6. Your reading begins at verse 16. I'm going to come down to verse 22. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house, bring her out, and bring out those who are with her, because of the promise you made to her." So the two men went into the house and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all those with her. They put all of her family in a safe place outside of the camp of Israel. You may be seated in the presence of God. I have, Pastor, did you take my towel? I have, for a better word, I've been catching hell since I started working on this sermon. It's just one thing after another, and, body attacked and everything. But, you know, when you're doing something for God, the enemy is not pleased at all. And he's going to come after you. I was so grateful to Pastor for reminding us that you need to count the cost. Because when you say you're going to be God's disciple, it's going to cost you everything. And sometimes not only your body going to go through some things, but there are going to be some troubles going on in your life when you have decided that you're going to follow God. Today I'm going to talk about don't write me off. Don't write me off. How many of you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God will use you regardless of your past? Amen. Amen. Once you bear self-confidence and start operating in God confidence, let me tell you, there is no limit what my God can and will do for you. For our time together this morning, we're going to talk about Rahab. Rahab's place in the Holy Scriptures is not by accident, but by events and occurrences that were orchestrated by Almighty God himself. God, without Rahab's knowledge or opinion, he chose her to be a part of Christ's genealogy for the purpose of teaching you and I his ways are indeed not our ways. He chose her to remind you and I that he can choose the most unlikely vessels to accomplish his purposes, and he doesn't care if you and I like it or not. Tell somebody you don't get to vote. Just like God knew you and I before the foundations of the world were called into being, God knew Jesus would one day leave heaven and come to earth. And he knew that Rahab would be an instrumental part of the Messiah's line. A prostitute, you say? Yes, a prostitute. A prostitute who stands as a testament to God's grace and mercy. The songwriter put it like this: your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living each moment, Lord, because of you. And I want to thank you. And I want to praise you too, for your grace and mercy brought me through. But he didn't stop there. He said, I want to thank you for saving a sinner like me, to tell the world that salvation is free. Because there was a time, God, when I just didn't do right, but you watched over me all day and night. And he kept on, because the thing got good to him, y'all. He said, now justice demanded that I should die. But grace and mercy said, oh, no, no, no. We've already paid that price, because I once was blind, but I thank God I see. And it's all because grace and mercy came along and rescued me. Your grace and mercy brought me through. It's all right to tell him. I'm living each moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Hebrews 11:31 said, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. Wow. Said favor. How many of you know that it was God's favor that woke you up this morning? His favor gifted you with the activity of your limbs. His favor clothed you in your right mind. His favor brought you safe to this house of worship one more time. Can you shout, thank you, God, for favor? No, that ain't everybody. Thank you, God, for favor. Let's take a closer look at Rahab. Rahab indeed was a prostitute, a harlot, a female escort, a hooker, a streetwalker, or a tramp. It don't matter what you call her. But before you make your final judgment call about Rahab, FYI, prostitution was an acceptable, honorable business in Jericho in Rahab's day. Don't try today. All that Rahab learned about God came from the stories told to her by the businessmen who frequented her brothel. She listened as they told her how God, Jehovah, separated the Red Sea, and how hundreds of thousands, men, women, children, and their animals crossed over to the other side. She listened as they told about how the waters came apart and when they crossed the Red Sea, and how they closed back together and they drowned Pharaoh and his army. Yeah. She listened as they told her how the children of Israel were fed manna from heaven and how they drank water that flowed from a rock. The more stories she heard, y'all, the more convinced she was that this God, Jehovah, wasn't one to be reckoned with. All who stood with him, he protected. Get this. All who stood with him, he protected. All who stood against him, he destroyed. So after listening story after story, Rahab in her mind recognized that God had already given this land, her homeland, to his children, Israel. But little did she know, help was on the way in the form of two spies, Joshua 2:1. So the men went to Jericho and lodged in the house of a prostitute named Rahab. Verse 2, somebody saw the spies and told the king. Let me help somebody right through here. God is always watching us. We know that, right? Got that. But you never know who else is watching. And everybody is not your friend, even though you give them the title friend. Like a kid on Christmas morning, they can't wait to open their mouth, their gift, and show everybody what they got. There's a saying that says, know that every closed eye ain't sleep. And people are not refrigerators, so they don't expect them to keep anything, amen? So the king sent a message to Rahab. He said to bring out the two men who had entered her house because they were spies. Now, Rahab, like you and I, and some of you still are, she told a half-truth. But Pastor has enlightened us. We thank you, Pastor. He taught us that a half-truth ain't nothing but a whole lie. Amen? And that is all I'm going to say about that, and that's all Pastor going to say about that subject. So she tells the king, the men indeed, they came here. Came to my house, but she told them she didn't know where they had come from and she didn't know where they went. But if they hurried, if they went quickly, they could catch them. Now, let me make a little observation right here, because that kind of bothered me a little bit, because unless there was only one road totally leaving Rahab's house, one road, that's one road, north, east, south, and west of our house, how in the world could they, if they hurried quickly, they could catch those men? I still don't have the answer, but I'll talk to somebody that does have it in the parking lot after church. It was weighing on my heart, Midge, so I just had to put it out there. I couldn't understand, if there was more than one road, how could the men just pick a road and catch the people? I didn't mean no harm. I just wanted to learn something, amen? So then we find that she did tell that lie, yeah. Truth is, she had hid the men up on the roof. And I don't want Pastor and Jess, because they are our song buffs in the house. They already know the Drifters Perdido song, Up on the Roof. Yeah. But I'm not going to let them do that duet for y'all today. That can happen next Sunday. Amen. Scripture tells us that before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof. She went up on the roof. The prostitute went up on the roof, but she didn't go up on the roof for her trade. She went up on the roof to have a meeting of the minds, because she needed some help, y'all. From all those stories she had heard, she was convinced she was going to need their help, and she knew they needed her help. So as Judge Judy say, you got to have a meeting of the minds, amen? So once on the roof, Rahab said to the men, I know the Lord has given this land to your people. You frightened us. And everyone living in this land, they scared of you. We heard how the Lord dried up that sea when you came out of Egypt. We heard how you destroyed the two kings. And because of what we heard, our men, they're afraid to fight you. Somebody missed her declaration of faith. She said, we heard, we heard, we heard, we heard. But if you go back to verse 9, Rahab said, but I know. That's a faith statement, y'all. See, it's one thing to hear something, but it's another thing to know for yourself and to believe what you heard. She didn't know about God, Jehovah. She wasn't raised to learn about God. They worshiped idols. But she heard the stories about Almighty God, about Jehovah. And the more she listened, the more she believed. And she went from we heard to I know. How many of you know that God is God all by himself? How many of you know that God don't need nobody else? How many of you know that God can do anything but fail? It's all in what you know. Verse 10 and 11 said she heard. Now because of what she heard, all those stories, she believed what she heard. And she was able to say, I know. Get this. You and I hear the word. We hear the good news of this gospel Sunday after Sunday, Thursday after Thursday. We believe the word, never doubt. The word lets us know that without Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, the sinner is doomed to eat a life in a burning hell. By faith, by trusting, by believing, not seeing or knowing for sure, but by faith, we repent of our sins. We accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. We invite the Holy Spirit to come in and live in us and teach us how to live holy in this unholy world. That's what Rahab did in her faith declaration. Faith takes God at his word. We got too many Christians walking around here in bondage, talking a faith game and not living faith. Faith is taking God at his word. If God said it, I believe it. Amen? Yeah. Romans 4, 20 and 21. Abraham never doubted or stopped believing that God would keep his promise. He grew stronger in his faith and gave praise to God. Abraham felt sure that God was able to do what he had promised. Rahab said, we heard. She said, but I believe. Do you believe today, church? Do you believe? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We believe with our hearts, so we are made right, justified with God. You see, it's not enough to believe with your head. You must believe with your heart. After believing in our heart, we must confess with our mouth and confess with our lives. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says, all who stand before others and say they believe in me, I will say to my Father in heaven, they belong to me. That's what Jesus said. He said, but all who stand before others and deny me, I will say to my Father in heaven, they do not belong to me. Where faith is real, and I want you to hear this good. Where faith is real, it will be seen. Say it with me. Where faith is real, it will be seen. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. What was Rahab hoping for? I'm glad y'all asked me. She was hoping that when the Israelites destroyed Jericho, she and her family would be saved. Everything she did, housed the spies, lied to save the spies, hid the spies, supplied the means for them to climb down the wall undiscovered, sent them to safety in the mountains. Everything she did, she was done in the hope that God would have mercy on her and save her family. I like this woman. I like Rahab. Rahab believed, y'all. She believed without any supporting evidence that what she was requesting would be granted. See, that's why some of you can't get your prayers answered, because you pray, but you really don't believe. You won't stand in faith because you're scared, but you need to get you some Rahab faith. Rahab believed. She believed from stories somebody told her, and we got the word of God, and we still got Christians walking around here in unbelief. Get you some Rahab faith, because without any supporting evidence, she believed that her request would be granted, and all she had, the knowledge she had, she obtained from just a few stories. But she believed in God. And because she believed in what she heard, she believed that he would do what she needed him to do for her. Tell somebody, that's some kind of faith. So the problem many of you struggle with, because Rahab didn't have a problem. Your problem is believing. You cannot believe in a God that you don't know, or a God that you don't know anything about. In order for faith to grow, you got to know about the God who is the source of our faith. Am I right? The truth of the matter, pastor's phrase, y'all know he always go, well, the truth of the matter is, but the truth of the matter, you can't feel your way to faith. Faith is not a feeling. Somebody in here needs some Rahab faith, Melvin. Look on their face. They need some Rahab faith. Go on, look. Rahab had a living faith. Rahab had a saving faith. So what kind of faith you got? Is it a living faith? Is your faith a saving faith? Don't write her off yet. That's the topic. Don't write her off yet. You and I need to humble ourselves and learn from the lesson of her story. I'm not trying to suggest by no means or dumb it down the fact that she was a prostitute. Yes, that was her trade. And some of us are a lot of things, and I'm not going to go there either. But being a prostitute, that was her past. All of us got a past. Was is past tense. Amen. Those men hid in her house because the people in the community and the surrounding communities, they were accustomed to seeing strangers coming and going in and out of her house all hours of the night. So it was easy for her to hide them until somebody told. Now, I know she told a bold-faced lie. Yes, she did. But be careful. Pot don't call the kettle black, amen? But what the old Rahab did and said has nothing to do with what the new Rahab said and did. Did you get that? She became a woman of faith. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Remember I read Hebrews 11:31? It was faith that Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies and was not killed with those who refused to obey God. I want you to read all of Joshua chapter 2. And like I said before, go back and read Joshua chapter 6 verses 15 through 25 for the whole story. It's really exciting, and it's also enlightening, and it's also encouraging. Get my three E's, Pastor. Let me tell you, God loved him some Rahab. Yeah, he loved him some Rahab. But I got something else to tell you. God loves you. Amen. It don't matter what's in your family line or anything, your genes or none of that stuff. God loves you. He loves you so much. The scripture tells us that he made us just a little bit lower than the angels. That's some kind of love. Shout and thank God for loving me. God, thank you for loving me. God knew everything that was going on in Rahab's life, just like he know everything going on in your life. Because God is the author and finisher of our faith, he was able to do something about the things going on in Rahab's life. And if you let him, church, because see, it's your choice. If you let him, he will do something about the things going on in your life. Notice, God didn't keep Rahab from losing her home. No, it was destroyed. He didn't keep her from having to live through the agony of watching the Israelites march around the city for 7 days. That had to be nerve-wracking when you made a vow with two spies that you didn't know, and they said that they would save you and your family, and she had all the family in the house, and then all of a sudden, they look out the window one day, and there go all these thousands of people marching around Jericho. He didn't take that agony away from her. But when Rahab stepped out on faith, somebody shout faith. Almighty God met her in the place of need. And let me tell you something. When you step out on faith, God will meet you in your place of need. Give God some praise in the house this morning. She trusted God, and God trusted her. But let me ask you a question. Can God trust you? Is your faith the kind of faith that allows you to trust God and God alone? Watch this. God judged Rahab's heart. He didn't judge her lifestyle, y'all. He judged her heart. We've all done things we're ashamed of. We've all done things, if we could do it over, we would not do it. But that's why we thank God for repentance. Because when you ask him to forgive you, and when you turn away from that thing, God has no problem forgetting it. Amen? God doesn't clean from the outside in. Some people say, well, I don't see a change. You don't have to see a change. God cleans from, he cleans from the inside out. The song says, won't he make you clean inside? Because see, God, the flesh is going to die. It's going to go back to the dust. So God works on the inside. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside, not on the outside. God not only saved Rahab, but he saved her whole family, because that's what stepping out on faith will do. You can step out on faith for somebody else, and God will honor that request. Don't write them off yet. God forgave her past, and God gave her a new future. I told you, don't write her off. God is not through with me yet. But in the meanwhile, don't you give in to fear. See, we allow fear to take our focus off of God. Choose to trust God, and he will forgive your past, and he'll give you a new future. I hear you, Jess. See, Jess got a testimony. Know that God loves you. He knows everything that's going on in your life and everything that concerns you about the lives of your loved ones. And here's your first free, because y'all know I'll give you something free. My God specializes in things thought impossible. And I know he can do what no other power can do. Tell somebody, God is not limited. And here's your second free, because I feel good up here. All things are possible to them that believe. Amen? Yeah. Rahab believed in God, having never learned about him. She trusted God. Say faith. Faith. Just from the things she had heard he had done. The difference between Rahab and you is all in the power of believing. We are all sinners. The word of God says, sinner saved by grace. Shout, thank you, God, for grace. Yes. Say it again. That felt good. Thank you, God, for grace. I know a prostitute sin is out there in your face. Fornication in your face. Adultery in your face. Drug and alcohol addictions in your face. Unwed mother in your face. Child molesters in your face. Liars in your face. Thieves in your face. Murderers in your face. Procrastinators in your face. And that list could go on for the rest of the day. But I don't care what's in your face. Let it go. Let it go. Let the love of God direct your heart, and you won't have to worry about what's in your face. Pray. That's why Pastor said we need to come and pray on Thursdays. We need to pray, y'all. Don't write them off yet. Pray. Amen. Christian sin. We sin. We don't live in a perfect body. We won't have a perfect body until Jesus cracks that sky and we meet him in the air and we get our glorified bodies. Tell somebody, Christian sin. But I know a man. See, that's what Jennifer was trying to say when she sang that song, Life and Favor. I see you out there, Jim. She said, you don't know my story. You don't know the things that I've been through. In other words, she's trying to tell you, please be patient with me because God is not through with me yet. Amen? Amen. Don't write us off because of our flaws, because all of us got flaws. Everybody got a past, but your past is not important. When you trust and believe in God. You see, I told y'all I like Rahab. When you finish reading her story, and I'm just gonna give you another little tidbit, another nugget. Rahab married Salmon, the son of Judah's tribe leader. And from this marriage would come their son Boaz. Now y'all know about Boaz. A faithful man of God. And Boaz, he married Ruth. And their son, Obed, was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of King David. And y'all know that Jesus Christ came from the line of David. So don't you write her off yet, amen? Maya Angelou put it this way. She said, you may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like the moons and like the suns with their certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still, I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulder falls like teardrops, weakening by soulful cries. Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it off of heart, because I laugh like I got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. Does my existence upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds melting in my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling. I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear. I rise into a daybreak that's wondrously clear. I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestor gave. I am the dream. I'm the hope of the slave. I rise. I rise. I rise. Can you rise today? Are you willing to rise? Trust God enough. Believe in God to rise above your situation, to rise above your circumstance, to rise above the trials, to rise above the tribulation. I rise. Let me help somebody. Jesus didn't suffer the pain, the rejection, the humiliation, the loneliness. He didn't suffer the cross. For you to allow somebody else's opinion to dictate who you are or who you will be. The only validation that matters in this life is the validation that God gives. You and I, we're the King's kids. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves who?
Me.
Yes, Jesus loves who?
Me.
Yes, Jesus loves who?
Me.
How you know? The Bible tells me so.
Come on, let's give God some praise together. Come on, bless the Lord. As you stand to your feet, your testimony today is valid in the fact that you haven't been written off. Sometimes we had the pen of our own demise in our hands, frustrated with life, kind of beat up a little bit, felt like quitting, didn't think that we would rise again. But the devil is a liar. The God that you serve loves you so much that he promised to never leave you, never forsake you. And really, if you live long enough, there's always going to be somebody that has a negative opinion of you. There's always somebody digging into our past, looking for what's wrong with us. But I've read the Bible more than once, twice. And Doc, I discovered that God doesn't mind taking recycled material and making something special. God never hired the best people, but he took on those who were willing to trust him. And in this room today, there may be someone you're struggling. You've been labeled, been set aside, forgotten. But I tell you today that there is still hope. Dr. Dixon sang toward the close of a sermon, that's my life testimony song, that Jesus loves me. This I know. And I want to encourage you today to know that the Lord loves you. Truth be told, we were to form a line to the left of the pulpit now, and the criteria stated being that if there's anyone that's messed up or made a mistake, get in the line. And at first, nobody would move because we all want to kind of gauge ourselves on other people first. But eventually, I think we'd come around and the line would start to form. And before you know it, we'd have everybody. But what's so wonderful about God is he knows all about our shortcomings and our failures. Our secret sins are not secret to God. God knows what's on your agenda for the day, for tomorrow, and the days to come. But he still loves you. And so, our offer today is for salvation in Christ Jesus. This is not about joining the Greater Brookville Church. This is not about joining anybody's church. This is about salvation that comes only in Christ Jesus. The question was asked after Jesus gave a very dynamic illustration of the difficulties that may be incurred upon our entry into heaven. And so one of the disciples said, well, then who then can be saved? And Jesus made it clear, it's not as hard as it seems. So today we would simply say to you, as the preacher related to us from Romans 10, you'll just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you can be saved. Being saved does not give us an exclusion from life. In fact, if you're mindful of the Word of God, you'll discover that when you get real close to Jesus, funny things start happening. Folks start hating on you. Folks turn on you. They'll rise up against you. But the Lord is our shield and our protector. So today, if you're here and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, we want to give you that opportunity. We've been preaching and teaching on discipleship life, and there is a great cost incurred when you give your life to Christ, and we want to help you with that. So we would today that if you want to make that decision while you're standing, if you'll make that decision about Christ, He'll save you. He'll save you. And some of your friends are going to be astonished. They're going to be amazed when you testify that you have a relationship in Christ. But we won't write you off today. We're glad to tell you that the blood of Jesus will wash away all of your sins. He died to give us life. Paul said the most important thing to him was the shifting of his way of thinking when he said, the things that used to be important to me don't seem to matter to me anymore. I just want to know the power of the resurrection. For as much as I die with him, I want to get up with him. And so today we offer new life to one believer. Your belief will dictate how you live. So would you come today if you're here, you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you come? Ask your neighbor to give you a little traveling room that you might make it down the aisle. But would you come today? And if you're already saved, that's good news, isn't it? That's real good news. Because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So our second declaration today is, if you are saved, that's good news. But if you need restoration, forgiveness, you want to repent, we all got something to repent about. We want to give you an opportunity. As Grandma used to say, get right with God and do it now. For this may be the last time. We just don't know. So if you want us to pray with you, and we offer you opportunity to seek the Lord's restoration. You want somebody to pray with you, pray for you. As you lift your voice to God in repentance. Most of us have regrets. Most of us have things that we're sorry for. But God will forgive you and God will restore you. God will reconcile himself to you. If you're here today and you want the prayers of the church, you have specific prayer concerns, we invite you to come. We invite you to come because the Bible declares that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And you don't have to come because you feel sorry for yourself. If you just want to come and praise God for life and liberty, maybe God brought you through that thing. Finally, you got through and you just want to come and say, Lord, I thank you. We invite you to come. You've got family members and friends and relatives that have asked you, when you get down to that little church house, would you pray for me? We invite you to come. You just want to tell God, thank you for one more day and just want to lift up your voice to the Lord. We invite you to come. I don't know why we try to turn prayer into such a drudgery time. It's a time of celebration. Stand before God and say, Lord, it's been a good day. And God, I just want to stand here before this great cloud of witness and tell you I thank you so much. God, you delivered me from evil. You lifted me up and turned me around. You gave me strength when I was weak. but I feel good about it. And Lord, I want to tell you again, thank you. That pain I had, Lord, I don't have it no more. Some of what I came in with on my back now, Lord, is under my feet. Some of that which was disturbing me, I can't even remember what it was. And I thank you, Lord. God, I looked around this morning and my house was in order. Thank you, Lord. The heat didn't betray us last night. The furnace didn't go down. The winds were blowing, but the shingles remained on the roof. God, I thank you. Lord, I kind of feel like my great grandma along through here. Every time I think about the goodness of the Lord, all that he's done for me, my soul says hallelujah. Neighbor, you got to excuse me, but the Lord has been good to me. I don't mean to bother you, but can I get you to magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together? Can I get you to bless the Lord? Hallelujah. So God, we thank you today that you didn't write us off. There are some clubs, Lord, we tried to join. They wouldn't let us in, fraternities and sororities. They said we wasn't good enough. They said our credit score was jacked up. They said we didn't have the right pedigree. But God, I thank you because I read the Bible a little further and it said, whosoever will. That's the pedigree I came out of. I was in the whosoever's. And Lord, I might as well be honest with you. I'm still in the whosoever's. I'm just so thankful. And for these who've come today, that your request be made known unto the Lord. And we invite others to join with us as well. Thank you for not writing us off. Somebody in this room knows today, if your neighbor knew everything about you, they'd have never sit on the same pew you on. If they knew some of the stuff that you've been trying to avoid and some of the stuff that you had to pay some folk not to tell, they wouldn't be close to you right now. But what's so wonderful, God knows everything and still lets us sing on the choir, still lets us get on the usher ministry, still lets us preach on Sunday morning. God, who knows everything, has looked beyond my faults to meet my every need. God, who knows everything, picked me up and turned me around, made a way out of no way. God, you're worthy of my praise. And I thank you that I'm all right now. Deaconess Dorothy, after going through all of her troubles, decided to make a little song that said, you're out of the woods, you're out of the woods, you're out of the woods. But some of us are still in the woods. But we can almost feel a song coming up in us. That's going to simply say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, thank you. All the days of my life. Because when I was sick, Lord, you healed me. When I was down, you picked me up. All we're saying, God, is you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And I will bless the Lord. So God, thank you today as our heads are bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you that it is well with our soul. We've been through our trials and tribulations. We've had our good days and our bad days. We've been sick. We've been broke. Been unemployed. Been talked about, lied on. Been left for dead. But Lord, I feel better. So much better since I laid them burdens down. I talked to you about it and you told me to run on and see what the end shall be. I talked to you about it and you said weeping may endure for the night, but joy would be mine in the morning. I talked to you about it and you said that you would be my shepherd and my guide. I talked to you about it and you said you'd give me this day my daily bread. And so I know Grandma was right that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. Thank you, God. I may not be out of the woods. I've still got some x-rays. I'm still taking the medication. I'm still on the payment plan. But I'm coming out of the woods. I bless your name, Father. You kept me when I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave. I'm coming out of the woods. And in all the things, Lord, that I have to be thankful for, I thank you for Jesus. Because my testimony sure is, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side, if you hadn't been there when I was driving the car, if you hadn't been there when I was drinking the liquor, if you hadn't been there when I was puff pass, if you hadn't been there, the enemy would have gotten a victory over me. But God, you picked me up and turned me around. You kept your covering over me. Lord, when I was driving and sleeping behind the wheel, you kept me. When I was staying out past my bedtime, you kept me. When I wasn't truthful or honest, my integrity wasn't there, you kept me. And so, God, I thank you today. God, if my neighbor only knew how far I'd come, they'd shout for me. If they only knew what I'd really been through and how I hung in there, they would shout for me. But God, I'm here. I'm still standing because you didn't write me off. So God, hear our prayers today for our children, for our spouse. Somebody needs a job. Somebody needs to come out of that financial burden. Somebody, Lord, needs a furnace. Somebody could use a jacket. It's cold outside. Somebody, Lord, just needs a meal on the table. God, you'll meet every need. Paul reminds us, and my God shall supply all of my need. Neighbor, if I could give you a high five right now, I'll tell you this, it's going to be all right. Because you have a God who loves you. And love don't run out when the money gets short. Love don't run out when you're not the big dog anymore. Love doesn't run out because you messed up. Love doesn't run out. He'll stick closer than even a brother. God, hear our prayers. Thank you for the preacher today, Lord. Thank you for the word that reminds us that we won't get written off. Thank you for all of these preachers who came by today. And pray, God, they'll come again at another opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for my neighbor today. Thank you, Lord, for my friends. And now, God, as we prepare ourselves to turn from this place, whenever your presence. So many disciples, Lord, are under the weather. There's sickness in many households. God, heal and deliver. So many, Lord, have laid down and laid back because of the weather. So, God, we pray that you'll give them what they need. Oh, God, thank you today that we pressed our way. Now, God, watch over our children in the morning. They're standing on those bus stops and it's dark. It's cold out there, Lord. The babies are cold. And so, God, that we'll have a winter coat and a hat and gloves. Watch over the bus drivers, the crossing guards. And God, bless our administrative people, the teachers and principals and those who teach our children. The cafeteria worker, the custodian. Watch over our kids, Lord. And Lord, when they come home, let them do their homework and keep learning, because learning shapes our living. Bless every house represented here this afternoon. And give us your traveling mercies. Bless the food we're going to eat, Lord. We're going to sit down with our family and friends and have a meal together. We know it came from you. Thank you, Lord. So in all our ways, we will acknowledge you as you direct our paths. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, amen, and amen. Give God some.